I'm Frank Vaughn. It's October 12, 2024, and today you get t-shirts and suspenders instead of a dress shirt because I'm wearing pants that once did not fit, but now fit and are too loose. If I can do it, you can do it too. I want to talk today about something safe, uncontroversial, and totally politically correct, and that is inbreeding, or consanguinity, as it will be known from here on out. I want to introduce this subject by talking about Habsburg jaw. If you don't know the von Habsburg dynasty, its power base was in Austria, and it came to influence all of European politics almost exclusively through diplomacy and marriage. Now, there were some wars mixed in there, but the Habsburg name is remembered for the dynasty that it spawned. And that dynasty came to ruin because they only married within the family. They inbred themselves out of existence, and you can see in this image, it's a tiny image, but you can also look it up online, Habsburg jaw, which was a result of the inbreeding, or that consanguinity, as I'm supposed to be calling it, to be politically correct. And you can look it up online. You should read all about it. It's fascinating stuff. It is known that consanguinity reduces IQs. It is known that it increases instances of mental illness. It is known that it encourages genetic defects. Now, how is this relevant to today's conversation? The headline says everything you need to know about John Rustad, BC Conservative standby candidate who called Palestinian children inbred. Now, maybe the individual in question didn't use the best language. Maybe he didn't vet his own language. Maybe he didn't consider the broader implications of his message and how sensitive and important a topic that he was actually addressing, and could have chosen his words much more carefully. But what are the underlying facts? This is a map of inbreeding by country, or consanguinity by country. Now, just to break the numbers down for you a little bit, Pakistan has a 61% consanguinity number. That means that almost two-thirds of the population is married to a close relative. Sudan has 50%. British Pakistanis, not specifically just Pakistanis, but British Pakistanis, those who immigrate to Britain, those who have been there, those who are coming there, have over a 50% consanguinity rate. Afghanistan stands at 49, Yemen at 45, Iraq at 46, Iran at 39, Libya at 38, and Palestine at 32, one-third. This has been an ongoing thing. We're talking about hundreds of years. We're talking about thousands of years of a common practice. Now, India on this map is represented lower than the statistics I have. It's somewhere between 20 and 30% of Indians are also consanguinously married, if you will, because of the caste system, the inequality, and keeping it in the family. Now, Canada overall has but a 1.5% consanguinity rate, because we figured out, because not just the Habsburgs, but other dynastic families literally bred themselves out of existence because of consanguinity. And we know, and we figured out in the West, that it's not a good idea. You have to refresh the blood, so to speak. So, the collective Western world has somewhere between a 1.5 and 2% consanguinity rate. Now, you can imagine, with these very real numbers, just to highlight one more thing, I will add another source. I'm going to show you one paper. One paper of many that you can go and check out for yourself if you want. There's a long-established history of Palestinian Arabs. The rate of consanguinity is very high, and some 44.3% of marriages are between relatives, 22.6% of them between first cousins. There's a scientific basis for this claim. Now, that 1.5% consanguinity rate in Canada, think about how high our immigration is, and think about where our sources of immigration are coming from. Think about how much lower that is in the second and third generation population. So this rush to judgment on the left of these comments the basis for that rush to judgment, that base, the basis for that condemnation rests solely, in my opinion, on the framing and the language used. The underlying thesis is sound. There is a high rate of inbreeding among these populations that is known to negatively impact IQ, mental health, and genetic viability. May also have something to do with the observable reality of a decline in longevity. These are all facts. These are all things that any society that is looking to mass immigrate its way out of a demographic crisis, which is the result of people who are not in the same family, not having babies for various reasons. These are questions and realities that we need to ask ourselves and face when it comes to the sources of that migration. These are cultural norms, unlikely to go away within a generation or two, and they, as we mass add people to the population from these sources, they create ongoing detrimental effects to your society. They create consequences. It's not just the practice, which is culturally incompatible with the population that has been here the longest. It's also the consequences for your healthcare system. We have been talking about this theme in the videos over the last 2.5 weeks since I started posting again, about the burden posed by mass immigration on all social services. And if we are not careful how we handle immigration, how it overburdens those things, and your politicians who keep talking about overburdened healthcare systems but don't want to talk about immigration's impact on those things, as well as housing, are being blatantly dishonest. Things like this are just, in some way, the icing on the cake, except it's not a very good cake. This just adds to, it has an amplifying effect on the already underlying base problem, which is bringing in dependents along with workers who put a burden on the system that is already taxed. The left would say underfunded, the left would say understaffed, the left would say there's not enough beds, yet they keep piling people into the country because their politics are just feel good. They don't want to face reality. These are all things we need to talk about. So back to the point, the British Columbian election and these so-called outrageous things that people are saying, there's a basis in fact. There's also the underlying thesis, which is BC has become a crime-ridden, drug-filled, overdose, I would say overdose-addicted, drug-injecting, drug-handing-out culture of enabling the absolute worst behaviors in humankind. That fact doesn't go away because somebody said something in a way that you don't like, especially when you consider the underlying facts are there. So BC voters have a choice. Do you like where the NDP is taking you, or do you want to give someone else a chance with a different vision and a different direction that might actually be able to right the ship? I mean, there's so many tragedies in the comments section, but the one that really got me today is a woman saying she took her niece and nephew to the park, but there was no climbing structures and slides for them because the homeless had moved under the slide. The drug addicts have taken over the children's parks. This is nothing new. This has been ongoing for a long time. It needs to stop. Our kids being healthy and normal and having the experience of childhood, which in the past, and I don't think since I've started doing this work again, I've alluded to the fact that childhood, our concept of childhood, the thing that we are trying to hold on to when we talk about safety in public, is an invention of modern times. We created childhood in the wake of World War II. Before that, you had child labor everywhere. You had kids at 5 or 6 working in coal mines. They were hit and beat until they fell in line and worked. It used to be common belief, even in the 1940s and 50s, that showing too much affection to your kids was detrimental to their health. We created childhood. We looked out upon the world and we said it's a better place if little kids are protected from sexual abuse, if they are protected from being exploited for work, if they are not beaten mercilessly. We decided this was a good thing. And looking at my kids, innocently interacting with the world with wonder and fascination and safety is the single most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It's second only to my admittedly troubled, but the moments in my childhood. I've often thought in my life that in spite of everything that went on when I was a kid, it still was the best time because my imagination was the most fluid. It was the most free. The play that I had with my cousins, running around in the woods, mimicking war games and doing all kinds of stuff. We lived in our heads and we experienced the world of imagination, and we did it because in many ways we were protected. That's a new creation. Do you want to lose that? Do you want to give that away? Do you think that's something we should terminate? Do you think children should be taught about sodomy and sex changes? Should their experience of youth, free of all that sexual tension that comes with being an adult or a young adult, all those things that come into your life, all that complexity, for a brief period of time, they get to live free of that and just live with their hearts and live with their souls and their emotion. Should we take that away from them at a younger and younger age? That seems corrupt and absurd to me. Now, back to the point. We're not just talking about consanguinity here. We're also talking about child marriage, arranged marriages, female genital mutilation, practices that are common or far more prevalent at the very least, depending on how you want to define common. Is common 50% plus? Then we're going to have to do some wiggling around. But we're talking about very high percentages of the population engage in practices that we as Westerners would find reprehensible. And we're not supposed to talk about it. We're not supposed to highlight it. We're supposed to throw our kids into all these various meat grinders? And for what? My answer is no. I think childhood deserves to be protected. And I think we need to have a conversation about what changing demography fully entails for the nation. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like the work, go to the website and feel free to support. I'll see you in the next one.